Brother Dwayne's passing last evening seemed to turn my mind toward trying to answer a few questions about death, and my sermon title today is, What is it like to die? And I want to share a few thoughts with you. It won't be anything profound. I'm just a simple-minded guy. But I serve a great Savior.
Amen.
I've got a great hope. And so I direct your attention to verse 15 this morning of Psalms 17, where the psalmist says, As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. What a verse of scripture. Father, speak to our hearts and encourage us and give us hope this morning for tomorrow. And Lord, help us to have that hope that goes beyond just this life and these tears. But Lord, may we say with the psalmist that our hope is really in heaven today. And it's our desire, it's our goal in life, it's our wish to awake in your likeness. And then, Lord, all of the anxieties and all the worries, all the frustrations, all the fears will be gone, for we shall then be satisfied. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Several times on one particular day, a little 10-year-old boy asked his mother, Mom, what's it like to die? She prayed to have wisdom to give her son the right answer to this important query. And then one day the answer came. The next time he asked, she replied, Do you remember when you were very small that we would visit your grandmother's house until late in the evening? And we would put you to bed at grandmother's, but you would awake at home the next morning in your own bed. Your father had picked you up in his arms and placed you in the car and put you in your own bed when we arrived at home. You didn't even know until you awakened the next morning. I believe that must be kind of like what it's like to die. One day we'll go to sleep down here. Jesus will come, and he'll take us in his strong arms to our real home, and we will then awaken in our Heavenly Father's house. This young man was satisfied with that answer, and I believe we should be as well. For the Christian, what's it like to die? I'd like to give you three brief descriptions. I'd like to say, first of all, that dying is a part of a larger picture. There's going to be this moment of transformation on a path of eternal life. We don't end when our bodies give out. There's life beyond the borders of death. And our loved one's life is going on in a new world where he is at peace this morning in Christ. The closing of one chapter is the opening of another. I just desire that you be aware of God's continual presence as you take the next step in your life's journey. And I know the grace of God will be sufficient for living, and the grace of God will also be sufficient for dying. First of all, the transition from this life to the next will be made in the arms of Jesus. I like that. Last night we came upon the scene of the wreck around 2:30, 3 o'clock. And they had it cordoned off and would not let the family or anybody down there. But even though family was not with Brother Duane, and even though we could not go down there to see the situation, I believe Brother Duane's transition from this life to the next could not have been more comfortable. It could not have been more pleasurable. Could not have been safer. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And just believing that Jesus is going to come. Jesus, the last night before the crucifixion, said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I. Did you catch that? I will come again. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In John 14:24, a verse I shared in Sunday school this morning, but Jesus said, Father, he's praying. He said, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. All the glories that Jesus had with his Father before coming to this sin-cursed world, he is enjoying again. And his prayer is that everyone who has accepted him and who has believed upon him and who has followed him will be with him one day. Amen. God is God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is coming again. And when Christians die, they die knowing that Jesus will conduct them safely into that land that is fairer than day, where we'll never grow old and where we'll never have any more pain or sorrow or accidents. Amen. Only the love and the power of God could do this. Secondly, the awakening will be to a conscious existence. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:49, just as we have borne the image of the earthy, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. This echoes the creation story where we're told that God created man in his own image in Genesis 1. This means that the essential elements of personality will survive that transition. Our rational nature, our spiritual kinship to our Maker, our moral nature as a responsible human being, all of these will enhance the unmarred fellowship we will have with our Redeemer and with the redeemed saints of God, giving us a glorious eternity. Number three, this existence will be filled with eternal joy and pleasure. In Psalms chapter 16, verse 11, the psalmist says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Amen. So we will be with him. John 14:3, he says that where I am, there ye may be also. Now we don't know a great deal about heaven, but we know that Jesus is there and that we're going to be with him. And that's enough. I don't need to know more than that. Amen. Jesus is there and we're going to be with him. Not only are we going to be with him, but we're going to be like him. 1 John 3:2. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Paul spoke to the Ephesians about coming unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ in Ephesians 4:13. It is when we see Christ that we shall see the fruition of what Paul was talking about. We're not home yet, children. God's still working on us. But one day, we're going to be like him. Amen. One day we're going to see him as he is. One day we're going to be transformed into his likeness. And not only will we be like him, but we'll be at home with him. John 14:2, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Christ has gone to prepare a home for you and me. Now, the Bible spoke about Abraham and said that he was a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth and just living in a tent and wandering around, you know. But he looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen? And that's the kind of city you and I are looking for today. We're not home yet, children. And listen, if we could only see death as God sees it, God looks at the death of his saints from an entirely different perspective than how we view death. From our perspective, death takes our loved one from us. We experience a sense of loss. We're robbed of their presence. Yes, their seat becomes empty. We begin to wonder, how in the world are we going to manage without them? I've had precious wives to tell me when their husbands passed, preacher, what am I going to do? How in the world am I going to survive? These loved ones, their affections are taken from us. We no longer are blessed by their help and their activity and their support and their security and their provision and their companionship. But from God's perspective, it is through the doorway of death that his saints, his children, come into their eternal home, where perfect holiness and happiness are the unending experience of all the redeemed. All of us have experienced the sadness of having someone depart for a brief journey. A father or a mother may go away on a business trip. Children may go off to college or join the military or go into battle, into war. And that time of departure is always sad. But you know what? The return of that loved one is always an occasion of joy. By the vehicle of death, God's saints return to him. He gives life, a life that he designed to return to him. 2 Corinthians 5:8, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Moses died 1,450 years before Christ came, and yet he appeared there with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, alive and well. There is life beyond death. Amen. And not only Moses, but Abraham. Abraham died, if his history is correct, 1,857 years before Christ. And yet Christ spoke of him as alive and embracing Lazarus, who also had died and was carried by the angels into paradise and was comforted there by Abraham in Abraham's bosom. Amen. Amen. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That everlasting has to do with heaven and being where God is. Amen. There is no there is salvation. Bible says Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What about it? Have you received him? Milton said, death is the golden key that unlocks the door to heaven. But you know what? Heaven's got to get into us before we can get into heaven. And the only way that heaven can get into us is by us receiving the King of heaven, the King of kings and Lord of lords, into our hearts and into our lives. If we'll receive Jesus, we too can become a child of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's a promise that Jesus made to us. And I believe every word in this book. I believe it's true. I believe it's true. Listen, the King of heaven must become the Lord and Master of our lives here. And then Paul said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen? Amen. If we'll receive him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then if it comes down to a car wreck, I'm almost hesitant to say anything's an accident anymore, but I guess accidents still happen. But I believe God oversees some things. I believe the Lord Jesus was just waiting to take Brother Dwayne in his arms and take him on to glory, to that house that he's prepared for him. Amen? Amen. God's not taken by surprise when things happen like that. Listen, death can be a blessing for the Christian. It can be rest from our labors, relief from our sufferings, rewards for our faithfulness. God wants his saints to come home. He's looking forward to that day. Jesus wants his sheep to be with him. And I believe they are longing for that glorious day when they shall behold him and go home to be with him. Amen? Amen. Oh, what happens to Christians and their little babies and who die and leave their remains here? Listen, Psalms 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Amen.
Precious. Have you ever described something as precious? I look out over the congregation, I see you there with your children. Some are leaned over against your shoulder asleep. Others, you might be holding, but you're leaning up against them. And if I were to ask you what you thought about your children, you would say, they are precious. Hey, that little baby is precious. Mom and dad are precious.
Amen.
Son and daughter are precious. Grandma and grandpa, precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why? Because it's through that medium of death that Christ is going to bring that soul home.
Amen.
Where he shall forever be with the Lord. And all that time of separation and estrangement and all those trials and sufferings and hardships and all of that is going to be over. I don't know what you're going through. Some of you have loved ones with Alzheimer's. There's some children today whose moms and dads don't even know them. I go in the nursing home and I see people there without their legs and without their arms. And I see them all bent over, just lined up in rows down the nursing home aisle. And I'm thinking, Lord, there's a better way to live than this.
Amen.
There's a better way. I believe when we get to heaven and we see how wonderful heaven is and how wonderful God is, we're going to look back on this old life and we're going to rue the day that we tried so hard to keep living down here.
Amen.
When the place that God has prepared for His people is so wonderful. Amen? Oh, I don't want to leave. I got grandchildren I want to see grow up. I want to be around a while and let my wife keep taking care of me and loving on me and all that kind of stuff. But one of these days, this old body's going to grow old and wear out. And I'm going to become feeble too. But at some point, I hope Jesus will come down and with the arms of love, gather this old soul up and take me home to be with Him. I'm hoping for that. And I believe it's going to happen one day. The Bible says this corruption must be put off in order that incorruption can be put on. God is saying, I'm gonna bring Brother Dwayne out in order that I might bring him in. Amen. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. And I believe Jesus is saying to us here this morning, just trust me. You've got to trust me. God cannot let you walk where your loved one walked right now. He didn't come for you last night. He came for Brother Dwayne.
Amen.
But you've got to trust Him to do that that's best for you. The Bible says that this world is nothing compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us, those who trust the Lord Jesus. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. He's revealed some things to us through the Spirit, but we don't know fully how it is until we go home to be with Him. Amen? God's going to call one day. Until He calls, He's saying to you and me, trust me. Just trust me. Just trust me. Just wait till you meet again. Just wait till you see your loved one again. Just wait till you see heaven. Just wait. Hold on to your faith and trust me. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He says, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore.
Amen.
I believe that today with all of my heart. Are you in God's family today? Have you accepted Jesus Christ? Have you received Him? If you'll receive Him, He'll receive you. If you'll accept Him, He'll accept you. I'm going to ask you today, if you're not a Christian, I'm going to ask you to just pray a simple prayer, asking Jesus Christ to save you and forgive you of your sins and pledge to follow Him and become His child. And if you'll do that, I promise you, Jesus Christ will give you eternal life, because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm going to invite you to come and make that confession that Paul talked about. If you'll confess Him, He'll confess you. And so right now, the musicians are coming. John's coming to lead us in a song. And I want to give you an opportunity to come. Wendy Collazo is going to be baptized in just a moment. I'm going to ask her to come. And